Hey y'all, welcome to Athlete on Fire. Today I had a good time with some of my old college buddies and actually roommates from college, which is kind of fun. We got Aaron Lambert of Lambo Brand. He is a coach and trainer out of Cincinnati right now. We got my buddy Jacob Gruce. He is the head basketball coach at Cave Spring High School in Roanoke, Virginia. They just won the state championship here about a month ago. And my buddy Andy Stoller hops on halfway through. He kind of does everything over at FMS, Functional Movement Systems. They are based in Virginia as well. Actually, really, really cool site and company doing good things for mobility and training and injury prevention. So you can check those guys out online as well. But yeah, we just brought him on. My buddy Lambo, he did a lot of the preseason training for the Cave Spring High School team. And we kind of talk about what the goals were for the team and challenges and it was virtual training, so he was working with these kids in Virginia from Ohio, how they kind of got around some of the points of pain and communicating over distance and all that good stuff. So then we got to talk a little bit about the season and kind of the crazy games that Jacob's team went through over this last season. And Stoller, as one of our other good buddies, he was able to get to a couple games and offer some opinions. So kind of just bounce around a little bit, talk a little bit of training, talk a little bit of sport. And one of my favorite questions was how do you not cuss your face off when you're coaching these intense games? Because we all play college sports and it's just part of the vernacular. So Jacob had a pretty good story about that, amongst other things. So as always, hope you guys enjoy the show. And any feedback would be awesome. If you have a cool idea for a guest, we'd love to hear that as well. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Enjoy. Oh, yeah. Okay. We got some good fodder. Hey, so I think just talking about, like, I kind of want to talk about y'all's the training last year that y'all did together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The public-facing one, not the private-facing training. And then, I don't know.
This is being recorded right now. I hope it's really being recorded right now.
Oh, it is. I'll take snippets. I'll take snippets as needed. We'll keep it somewhat clean because Jacob does have a public-facing job. Oh, can't be ourselves hanging around with him. But that's how it is. I love the fact that I can hit record and see like two lifelong friends who pretty much only talk shit 24/7. Just get so quiet.
Put that professional face on real quick. Like, yeah.
I don't need a professional face. That's all you, buddy.
It is. All right. So I want to talk about your season, Gruce. I actually got whatever that I watched like all of your playoffs, but I didn't want to tell you because our background's all in baseball. So we're all a little superstitious. It's like, nope, not talking to the guy. It's like I felt like you were throwing a no hitter through seven, and the last few innings I had to just not pay attention to you because, I'm sure you appreciate that. Would you
Absolutely.
Say that? Don't you still have like those baseball tendencies, like that superstition that we all have?
I wore the same suit, the same dress shirt, and the same shoes and the same tie for every playoff game.
Did you really?
Our team, we eat the same meal before every game. So we have 30 straight games.
How does that happen in sport? Is it just, did it start in baseball? It feels like it started in baseball.
Had to.
I think so. I mean, to me, it's like, man, once something starts rolling the right way, you don't want to change anything. Nothing.
Yeah. You got to do everything exactly the same.
I mean, I write my scouting report on the board the same exact way every single time.
I love it.
I have a play sheet that I keep in my back pocket. I keep it until we do the opposite of winning, then I throw it away and print out a new one.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So
I'm sick. It's weird.
Hey, never mess with the streak, man. Never mess with the streak.
Sport.
It's crazy.
What was your all? So if you, I'll probably just start the show a few minutes ago, right after the goofiness and right before we start talking about some real stuff, but. What was your final record out there?
29-1.
29-1. That's legit.
We lost one game at home. We made a layup with 8 seconds left to tie, and he got fouled. We missed the free throw to go up one. Kid comes down 6 seconds. We stop him. He kicks it out. Kid lets it go. Hits a three as time expired.
Oh.
But then we went on a 25-game winning streak after that. And the team that beat us is 10 minutes north of us in our same county. They're not in our district, but they're in our region. And so we won it this year. they won it two years ago. They won it the year before. I said, three of the last four state championships have come within 10 minutes of each other. Oh, so we ended up beating them three out of the four times. And one time they beat us was by three at the buzzer, which was kind of crazy. It's been a huge rival, They've been really good.
That's crazy to lose one game all season, but and it was just like a crazy last second deal.
Yeah, you know, it was probably the best thing for us. I mean, you know, just not that we were conceited or cocky or taking anything for granted, but you know, it's like, you know, you don't want to say, but sometimes a loss can be a good thing. Nobody wants to lose, but sometimes it can be a good thing. You know, we had three starters that game that were a game time decision. They had to go through warm ups to see if they could even play. And I'm not saying that's the reason we lost by any means. We had other kids step up, but it was it's crazy.
All right, so before we get to some of the crazy playoff stuff, because some of your games were just nuts at the end there, just from watching, and then Stoller would send me a video here and there, our other buddy, and just kind of crazy. I love to hear the mindset from a coach's standpoint on how you keep everything rolling at the end of those games. But before that season even started, I know that our buddy Lambo over here was doing a lot of the programming for the strength stuff. So I kind of wanted to hear how that went. If it made a big difference, if you saw big changes in your athletes. Lambo, I'd love to hear kind of how you're developing that programming for them based on feedback from Gruce and all that good stuff.
And like the best thing, you know, about like college buddies and everything, we all have a different skill set, and you know, I do things somewhat well, and I know where I have my you know, where I lack in. And you know, we were trying to do our weight situation, our weight room situation, because we knew we needed to be bigger, faster, stronger, what have you. And I immediately thought of Lambert. I'm like, Lambo, look, man, I'm just being real transparent with you, man. I need some help. Like, I need you to put some stuff together for us. You know, can you put us?
Who's the son of a bitch talking behind you right now?
It's welcome to the school world. So let's start that over.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
A varsity baseball game just got canceled.
Okay. All right.
I'm in my office. So, you know, again, I think I do some things decently well, and I know where I lack. So, you know, when we're like, man, we need to be bigger, faster, stronger, you know, maybe put us on another level. I texted Lambo, and like, man, I need some ideas. Well, of course, with Lambo, hey, I need some ideas. That turned into him like, hey, man, you need to do X, Y, Z, and I'm going to do X, Y, Z for you. Just, you know, if any of you, you know, if you call and ask me to do something, you're going to take the bull by the horns and do it. He actually went way above and beyond anything that I ever thought he would do for us or could do for us, being, you know, remotely so far away. He has me on an app, and it's dummy proof. Like, listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You know, it's really cool. The app, he sent it to me. I get a ding on my phone. We go in the weight room and be like, all right, we're doing X, Y, Z. And if I didn't know the lift, which I think is unbelievable, what he could do is we could click on the link and it would show our guys a video like, here's proper technique. This is exactly what he's talking about. So I thought that was unreal that he could do that for us. But rewind a little bit, you know, is detail-oriented. If you don't know Aaron Lambert, he's probably the most detail-oriented person in the world, which is a great compliment. Like we started out and it was all about, you know, proper form and technique. And I would actually video every one of my guys and send it to him, and he'd give me feedback. So to have that immediate feedback, it was like I had a strength and conditioning coach on staff, and I didn't have to pay him. You know, I could text him at any time because we're buddies. We actually had one kid, and Aaron could probably talk better to it than I can, that couldn't do a body weight squat, you know, by himself. And so I videoed it. I think we even ended up FaceTiming during it. Mm-hmm. And within like 20 seconds, he's like, this is what's wrong with you. This is what's wrong. Do this. And like the kid ended up like squatting like 155, 160 this year. Again, coming from couldn't do a body weight squat, you know, to that. I mean, we saw major, major jumps and things we were doing. You know, we probably would have seen more if I would have put more time in the weight room. But you know how it is, you know, trying to fight 95 other teams at a high school to go in. But, you know, we saw some major gains. And as you guys know, it's more mental than physical sometimes with your kids. You know, mentally they thought they were a lot stronger than probably what they were. And, you know, physically they got stronger as well.
Did you guys have like – did you have a bunch of injuries years before? Or were you just noticing that the just from a development standpoint, your kids weren't as strong as they needed to be, or you just wanted to get the edge?
You know, it was all about getting an edge, man, honestly. Like, you know, I mean, we've had a couple injuries since we've been here. But, you know, we've got some kids that are pretty strong that lift on their own, you know. In high school, you know, if kids can lift on their own, that's great. But lifting as a team is even better. If they can do both, it's a win-win. So, you know, for us, it was just trying to find that extra little edge. We thought we had a chance of being good, whatever that means this year. And, you know, it's always, you know, as a coach looking for a little edge, whether it's a new baseline out of bounds play or a new offense or a new way to think things or the weight room. You know, I wanted to turn it over to a guy that I thought really gets it done in the weight room and knows what he's doing, and kind of look to an expert and be like, hey, man, run with this thing. And again, as you know, Lambo, he took off running with it, man.
Heck yeah. Yeah, me and Lambert are in very similar worlds, and we're working together on a lot of stuff right now. But just having virtual clients like you guys would be considered for him, the technology from these apps is just freaking nuts. And the fact that you're actually giving them the video feedback, I'm sure Lambo can attest to this. You want that with your virtual clients because you can't get in the gym with them at the same time. It's one of the few things you can actually do to give them, you know, real-time feedback. But so many times people just don't take the time, whether they're self-conscious or, you know, they don't take the time to set the phone up with as little as it takes. But I think it's pretty cool that we can freaking give legit feedback being hundreds of miles away now. So that's kind of cool. Lambo, what was your take on all this stuff? Like when you were starting to develop it, were you going general power strength for basketball players, or did you have something else in mind for these guys?
Well, when he first called me about it, the sense that I got it, like they needed to be bigger, faster and stronger. Just because like, I felt like he felt like when they were playing teams that were more physical, it was costing them. So when I started figuring it out or coming up with what I wanted them to do, you know, I knew starting out to get out of it, what he wanted out of it, we're going to have to bench, squat and deadlift. Okay, so I got one of my guys up here and we did very detailed videos on technique just to send it before I even sent him a workout, just so he could go over it and kind of know what to look for and let him know that, like, if we're not getting it done there, just video whatever you got and send it to me and we'll figure it out. So once we got past that phase, when I was setting it up, I knew that he, you know, when you're in high school sports, I know how it is up here. And it's pretty much that way everywhere. He's got a certain amount of time that he can be with them. And it's got to be very quick, to the point, and efficient. So I just figured, you know, we got to get one of those big lifts done every day. They were only going to be in there twice a week. So I just went back to a push day and a pull day and then started from there. And, you know, started them off gradual with medium reps just so they can start feeling their weight. And then after they got done with those first things, we would move into something else, a little circuit that's more efficient, working a push and pull, trying to promote long muscles instead of short muscles like football players would need. But I needed it to be more of muscle endurance for them and producing the same amount of power over and over and over and over an elongated period of time instead of going for like maybe 20 seconds and then resting. I know they were going to have to keep on going. So that next circuit, we just, you know, whatever we were doing, a push day or pull day, I would just set it up to where they could move from one to the other very quick and get as many sets, you know, it's usually 5 sets done for anywhere from 4 to 6 exercises. And then after that, I kind of wanted to put a little like team thing in there. So the finishers were very intense with explosive movements, moving back to back core movements to give them a little break, but high intensity, kind of promote that, you know, rooting for each other. And we've been through this together. So when they get to the games, they know they've been through hard times and they can get through it. So I kind of structured it where we could get, you know, gain strength. And I knew that once they started gaining strength mentally, it would help them a lot. No matter if it was like 10 pounds, 5 pounds, or 50 pounds, when you gain strength in the weight room or you can put a bigger plate on there, you just feel better about yourself and you feel more confident. But at the same time, making it so hard that when they got to the games, you know, it was easy if they were facing a difficult time. So I tried to do the strength component and the mental component all at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. And like, just as virtual coaches, in this platform, like helping people across country, you're looking, just as people who play college sports, like you're looking for the camaraderie that you don't get when people are in town. So like figuring out how to do that from long distance is pretty cool. And I think it says a lot about the creativity of it all too.
Yeah. I think one of the things really cool, Lambo, I don't, you may not even remember doing this, is the first thing he had me do, because, you know, we just moved into a new building and to a new school, new weight room and things. The first thing he had me do was just go with my cell phone and take video of everything we had in our weight room, the size of our weight room, the machines we had, so he could just start, you know, really laying out a program for us.
Love it. Yeah. Okay, I have a few questions about the training. So preseason, is that when you guys all started doing your stuff? How many days a week were you doing it? How long were you doing it?
2 days a week, and it depended on whether we had to go in there as JV and varsity together or if we could split it up between JV and varsity, depending on gym availability and weight room availability. But a lot of times we'd only be in there 20 or 30 minutes per team. So it was, I mean, he really catered to man where it's like, get in, get it done, and get out.
So you're just busting it out because you have other sports in there and all good
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a part of preseason practice or open gyms? And if so, did they do it before or after, just out of curiosity?
So a lot of times varsity would lift first and then go to the gym. JV would be in the gym playing, and we would just flip-flop if we could.
Yeah. I think it's great, like, especially for really high-skilled sports, like to go in the weight room and then come out and still work on that touch and the agility and the footwork, so you're not just getting stiff and locked up in the weight room.
And our guys – especially our older guys. I mean, I can't go there and then lift and then not shoot again. You know, it's the mental aspect of me. I got to be able to shoot after I get done lifting to
always
make sure it doesn't mess up my shot.
Well, it's funny because, like, for even when me and Lambert went to grad school together for exercise science, and even back then, like, the knowledge was like, you got to keep muscle on during the season. Otherwise by the end of the season, all the gains that you wanted would be almost gone, just from, especially for basketball and soccer, you know, sports where you're running out around a lot. But I can't remember if it was in March Madness or an NBA recently. I saw like just a little post the other day, and it was a bunch of the athletes lifting right after the game. And I can't remember if it was March Madness or NBA, but we've been doing that forever. And if you can batch those efforts, the goal, and this is just for people listening, the goal is to have as much recovery between high intense efforts as possible. So if you have a heavy a lift set or a game and you just do it all in this little 3 hour period of time, then you can have, you know, longer through your sleep and recovery periods the next day. But what a lot of people do is they go play the game, they go to bed late because they have the adrenaline, they wake up the next morning either trying to lift and doing a half-assed job at it because they're fatigued and they don't have that energy anymore because they wasted it the night before, or they give themselves too much recovery and they do the really heavy stuff before their next competition and then they don't have the legs for it. So it makes a lot of sense for that. I'm sure, Lambo, did you talk to Gruce about that a little bit?
Not really. I mean, we did a little bit, but, you know, I know time is of the essence. He mentioned something like that. About like his guys, and I probably gave one of my responses of that's bullshit, just tell him to do it.
You know what I mean? I think that's something as a coach I've got to get better at, like in the season. But you know, it's hard for us to really make that time with high school kids. If you do practice, you do play to keep those guys around late mm-hmm. hours at night as well. You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. Not an excuse, but it's really hard at the high school level to say, hey, we just got done with the game and we've been on, you know, got an hour and a half trip home, and hey, we get back at 11 o'clock, we need to left. You know, parents, administration, et cetera, that's a tough thing to do. We actually had a couple kids that are our one kid, Owen, who's, you know, an all state kid for us, co player of the year. Like I always wash uniforms after the game. You know, he would come in and he would lift a lot. Just he already has a college body. I mean, dude is flat out ripped, and he would come in and lift a lot. He's pretty serious about it. But other guys, it's tough, man. It's tough to keep those kids around.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough for a sport like basketball, which I played back in the day too. It's such a fun game. It's so hard to do this the work that just isn't fun in the weight room. But I think when you get that consistency and you know, kids start noticing they're dunking easier, or they're getting over there, getting up by the rim a lot easier than they were before. Then you get that buy-in, and then you create the freaking culture around it. It's pretty cool, man.
Absolutely.
Did you guys lift during the season much, Bruce?
Not as much as we need to. I mean, it's just a time thing. It really is, and that's the hard thing for us.
That's the difference between high school and college. Working with high school kids who are going to college to play sports out here in Colorado, and they don't realize like that weight room is going to be, it's going to be there for 2 or 3 hours a day, whether you like it or not, because everything turns into a job, which is pretty sweet. Any big takeaways that you guys are going to implement or change next year from a training standpoint, from a coaching standpoint or training standpoint?
Listen, again, I refer to the expert. He'll tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it.
Nice. I like it. What about you, Lambo? Would you change any of the training?
Well, I think now that, you know, they're a year into it, and especially because Bruce and his staff are more familiar with, like, the lifts and kind of what to look for and everything like that, I think we can start implementing some more stability exercises that are a little bit more challenging and require a little bit more people paying attention to what they're doing. I think we can start to implement some more of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still going to be get your basic stuff in, especially with the time crunch that they have. You have to get those base lifts in, and you have to be efficient at it, and you have to just get it done. And you don't have time to mess around with a lot of stuff that's going to take a whole lot of time to teach, especially when you're dealing with, you know, you're going to have guys coming back that know a lot of the stuff because they've been through it. But, you know, he's going to have kids coming in, freshmen and sophomores that haven't been there before, and they don't know what they're doing. So we can't get too cute and too fancy. We just got to get it done.
I think the other advantage that we'll have is we'll have a better summer. You know, this summer we were still in masks, still socially distancing some, still having to be careful with cleaning machines in between, limited the number of guys who were in the weight room. So we had a lot of things that were around us. That we had to be able to control things, where now, you know, we're not in masks, we're allowed to do basically wide open now. And I think that will really benefit us this summer. I really do.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Bruce, did you lift with the team at all this last year?
You know, I usually do. I usually get on the elliptical and just sit there, throw in my earbuds and just go to work. It's good for me.
The official answer is no.
Yes.
No, you ask my guys, I get on the elliptical, man.
I get not lifting, Bruce.
I asked if you lifted.
Oh, I thought you did do anything.
No, I said, I said, did you lift with the team when they
were?
No. I love it. I just love I love the visual of seeing Bruce with his headphones in, just hitting that freaking gazelle strider. And you got guys in the back, like, literally crumbling under the weight because Lambert's programmed them so tough. It just makes me laugh.
Absolutely.
Did they ever try to get you to lift with them?
Mm-hmm. No, they just kind of went in. I mean, you're just kind of business, like, man. I mean, they just kind of go in and do what they need to do and
bust it out,
the box and keep moving, you know?
So before we get to some of those games at the end of the year, do you have a post-game routine, win or lose?
As far as, like, what I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I always stay. I watch all the JV uniforms, watch all the varsity uniforms. I clean the team room, go ahead and do my scouting report, my practice plan, and watch film for the next day before I leave. I'm a night person. If I want to get anything done, I always get it done at night. It gives me good decompressed time. Because if not, if I go straight home right afterwards, I'll be climbing the walls anyways.
Wow.
So, you know, for me, I stay late. And I would rather do that. You know, it just – if I don't get all that done, then, like, my mind won't shut off. Like, okay, I got to get X, Y, Z done in the morning. I like to get everything done at night before I leave. You know, I send all my coaches home. You know, both of my assistants have small kids. One has just had a baby. So to me, I want to get them out here as quick as I can where, you know, for me, you know, my kids are at the age they understand why dad's working late. They come to every game anyways. They'll come down and hang out for a little bit. Then they'll go home. But I like to get everything done, man. You guys know how organized.
How late is that for you?
It just kind of depends on night, whether we're at home or we're on the road. But most of the time, I'm home and in bed, midnight, 1 o'clock. I mean, it's not too bad.
No,
it's not bad at all.
I love it. I don't think the general population knows how much head coaches work, even at the high school level. It's pretty wild.
They have no clue. They think you just throw a suit on and coach a game and it's cool, and then you go home, man. Like, I'm crazy, man. I don't let our guys take anything home. I wash everything. You know, you got their laundry loops in there. I make sure all the practice gear is washed. Team room looks good. Like, I'm too weird like that.
All right, Lambo, did you get to watch any of his playoffs?
I got to watch a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So the answer's no.
I think it was the semifinal game.
First of all, it's hard to get good connection. We will use whatever that site is, like
NFHS.
Yeah, it's fine, but like you can't see the score half the time. It was like 89-89 for 20 minutes one time, and so it's just kind of crazy. What you don't have to talk about every detail of the game, but like when you're 80 years old and you're looking back at the season and you're just like, wow, that's a pretty cool little run. Like what's going to stick out memory wise?
So, you know, like we were talking about before, like we have one loss by 3 points at the buzzer, and then we went on a 25-game winning streak to win it all. But, like, and we won a lot of our games by a pretty significant margin. We really did. We had a couple of close games sprinkled in there. But, like, once we hit the playoffs, we had 3 regional games and then 3 state games to win it all in the state of Virginia. The regional quarterfinal game, we were down first 3 quarters. So, a team that we had beaten twice pretty handily. I think we ended up outscoring him 24-0 in the fourth quarter to win the game. Regional semifinal game, we rolled pretty well. Regional final game, you know, we were down at halftime. You know, state quarterfinal game, we were down at halftime. State semifinal game, we're down at halftime. We went at the buzzer by 2 as time expired. And then state championship game, we went by 1. So yeah, everybody's like, man, like, it's easy. Like, you guys are really good. Like, it's easy to win a state championship. Like, people have no idea how hard it is. People have no idea how you got to be lucky, you got to be good. You know, this year we didn't get paused one time for COVID, which is pretty incredible, whether that be in us or the other team having to pause and we have to, you know, cancel a game. We had 2 injuries this year, and each kid only missed 1 game. My point guard missed 1 game, and then my 2-man missed 1 game. So, like, things like that, like the stars have to line up sometimes, man. They really do. Able to cut down the nets, like, you just can't be good. I mean, you look at, you know, I think Gonzaga could have been the best team in the country this year, and they get upset early, you know. So it's who's playing good at the right time, and, you know, it's, you gotta be lucky, you really do.
Yeah. How many kids you got coming back?
So I return my point guard, my starting point guard. He's a rising senior. My 6'8" center is a rising senior, and then my 2-man who was All-State is a rising senior as well. We lost our 3-man and our 4-man. 4-man is going to VMI. He's like 6'5", VMI, baseball commit. He's a pitcher. And then the other kid, Owen, he's depending on what he decides to do. He's got a couple of offers. Concord University's actually been down a bunch to watch him as well. So, you know, we return our 6th and 7th man. You know, I got a 6'6" sophomore, rising junior, return as well.
Dang, that's awesome, man. Yeah. So we got somebody having problems getting on the call here. We'll see.
I mean, the one guy who's like tech savvy, I know, can't flip his camera right and can't get in. I mean, look how little his picture is, dude. Like,
wow. Literally, all he does all day is
he's a tech guy, and this is it's unbelievable.
This is one of our best friends, Stoller, here. What up, Stoller?
Hey, there he is.
Wow, Stoller.
The files are in the computer.
I love Zoom. Zoom's my favorite.
Your audio.
I feel some sarcasm. Do you?
Your audio is my favorite right now. It sounds great.
Doesn't sound bad?
Sounds good to me. I mean, if we're all talking in a Folgers can from 1942.
Lambo, how come when the one tech guy gets on here smarter than any of us on technology, it just blows up? Oh, he's gone. Hey, there it is.
Well, listen, I have a theory about that right now, but I really can't say it on the podcast, but it's based on the last video call we all had together when Stoller was in his basement.
Is that COVID times?
I think so.
What? This is one thing I couldn't figure out over like the early days of COVID. Like, we all keep in touch pretty darn good for being so far away from each other. But everybody had the inclination to like have to like talk to people face to face on Zoom. Like, we could have done that. Everybody was doing that though, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, he's back.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Hey, somebody call Shannon. Maybe Shannon can get him on here.
Stoller?
Andy, use hand signals. Like thumbs up, you can hear us. Thumbs down, you can't.
Hey, Stoller, audio is working. You're not muted. I know this. You're just muting yourself. That's okay. Anyway.
So, happy birthday, Lambert.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from none of you.
He comes in.
My producer in my ear. My producer in my ear said I was supposed to tell you happy birthday.
That was first.
No.
Hey, Stoller, you forgot the wires on your earbuds.
I can go get them.
How are you hearing? Because you don't have wires on your earbuds. I don't understand.
Oh, yeah. He's a little up there.
You're old.
Okay. I thought this was the first thing you would say as soon as you got on and saw my face. I really look good. You got your earbuds in?
All right. So we got Andy Stoller here, FMS dude, Functional Movement Systems. What you do marketing for those guys still?
I just fill up the water cooler every now and then. That's about it.
He knows technology.
That's what we thought. Yeah.
That's it. I turn the lights on, sweep the floors. That's about all they'll let me do.
I mean, none of it really matters. What matters is that you live pretty close to our college buddy, Gruce, here, and you got to go check out some of the – we were actually just kind of wrapping up, like, talking about the end of the season and some of his big memories from the year and who's coming back and stuff like that. Talked about Lambo's training and programming for the team earlier. But I know that you were at some of the games, right, at the end?
I was. I was able to make the last four of the last five. Didn't make the championship.
Just want to say thank you, True Friend Stoller, for all your support. And
absolutely,
I do what I can. You know, some people do go make that extra effort to
30-minute drive. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
You know, So I think the biggest question, Jones, and you guys may have covered this already, is was it the championship more of Jacob's coaching or Lambo's training plan? That's really what I'd like to know.
I'm just going to go.
That's an easy answer. Lambo.
Yeah, absolutely. Lambo won the game for him.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Sure.
Yeah, because you, for the most part, Jacob, your team was fairly healthy all year long, right?
That's what we were just talking about. Like I had my point guard missed one game to like a banged up ankle, and then my two man missed one game for a toe injury. That was it.
Yeah, because you've had trouble with that in the past with ACLs and different things. So I know getting through the whole season without a lot of damage was part of that process. Yeah,
absolutely. So. That's what we're talking about. You got to be lucky. You got to stay healthy, stay away from injury, COVID, everything.
And one thing we didn't cover, Stoller, I don't know if anybody – since this is an audio podcast and nobody else can see it, but, hey, Gruce, were you ever coach of the year? Nobody can really tell.
It's just in my office, man. This is where else you be put this stuff.
I'm
just
completely messing with you. This is only stuff that college buddies would make fun of. Proud of you.
Do have three other walls that you could choose, but I mean, I understand why you chose that.
Well, all right. So there's all my Dan River stuff. You've been in here. There's that wall. And then there's that wall. It's got a dry erase.
Okay.
We'll defend Gruce and say that he actually won the game. Lambert did not. Hey, so still, I want to know stuff that me and Lambert never get to see when he's coaching. Like, I've seen some still photos of him that just make me freaking belly laugh. But what's it like to be there, man? It looks like a WWE thing every once in a while with him, anyway.
I'm sure Vicky.
It's
keep my mom's name out your mouth.
There it is. Watching a team that Jacob coaches has two upsides. One, they're usually pretty good teams. But two is watching him on the sidelines, whether it's work the officials or his interaction with his own players or the fans, whatever that is. It's – and I think a lot of people actually kind of echo that same sentiment. It's a two for one a lot of times watching his games.
You gotta give me an example, because like just talking about him being excited, I guess is a good word.
Like, what's his go-to move like when he's upset with somebody?
Yeah,
like some people stomp, whatever. What does Gruce do?
he gets really wide, like in a nice defensive stance, gets really low. His back is not in the best possible position, but, you know, he's also over 40, so we'll give him that one. But
I get deep.
Yeah.
I mean, I
he can get deep. You can go deep.
Yes. I get low.
You get low. That's right. That's right. But there's probably not a lot of people that know this. I don't know if Jacob ever shared this, but I asked him.
I know exactly what you're going to say. I know
about
exactly.
Five years ago, I was going to go up to a game, and I said, hey, I said, would you be opposed to me miking you up for a game? I said, promise I won't do anything with the audio. Like, I was like, I'm just, you know, would be very interested just to kind of hear that. And I said, if there's anything that you want out of that, you can have it. And that was, you know, if you've ever watched an NFL game and, you know, you get a chance to get a glimpse of the huddle conversation or sideline conversation, it's kind of it kind of elevates the entertainment piece. I've never enjoyed a high school basketball game more when I had him mic'd up and I was able to listen in to
Did you
some
listen
of the conversation.
Real time?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I had it monitored. Yeah, I was. Oh, I had him mic'd and I was over there in the back of the top of the bleachers with headphones on, just laughing. You know. And just rolling, just some of the stuff he was saying to the officials and to his players.
I would pay to listen to that every week.
Yeah, I want
to
hear that.
No. We have sworn to each other that stays between us until I retire. Then
That's
we can
right.
listen to it.
We'll release that after the fact.
It's amazing, like, the things you say in the heat of the battle, I guess. I don't even remember saying it. Like I'll listen back to it, and I'm like, oof.
Well, you want some pancakes, referee? You want some pancakes with that? You just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No?
I don't remember pancakes. But...
No. Okay. No. I mean, we had him even in the pregame, the locker room, the halftime, the postgame.
Oh, man, that's
like,
great.
Yeah, it was actually pretty fun. I was like, you know, I could actually if somebody would pay me, I would do this. You know, but no,
and nobody. Then after that, like a couple days later, he's like, hey, listen, next time I want to give you earpiece so I can talk back to you during the game.
That's probably
a really bad idea.
Yeah,
Bruce, why'd you turn the ball over there? That was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm yelling at him in the middle of the game.
Yeah. So now that's it's definitely entertaining, and you know, going back to Jacob, he's well deserved, puts in a ton of hours that nobody knows about, you know. Kind of the do it all kind of coach. Doesn't delegate a lot of the crap. He just ends up doing it himself, and you know, at the expense of seeing family and wife and friends sometimes. So it's kudos to him. You know, it's definitely a passion, because if it wasn't, he wouldn't do it.
No, I love it. You know, I grew up. My dad was a coach. I saw how much time he put into it. So I mean, I have that other level of respect for all my. I have a good handful of buddies that are high school coaches across the country, and so I know how much it means. I know how much what Lambert does on a daily basis. Means I do a lot of the same stuff as he does, and it's always a team effort. And I don't know, Bruce, not to get too sentimental, but what does it, you know, you got friends all over the place. Does it feel pretty cool? Like we've been hanging out since we were freaking 18, 19 years old, all four of us. What's it like to, like, you know, go through some of your professional stuff and knowing that we all love sport and seeing our buddies kind of succeed? What's that like for you?
Man, it's awesome. Like, you know what, one of the really cool things, man, is like, Stoller's son, Easton, comes up to my little kids camp. He's been up a couple years in a row, and like, and Stoller will hang out and just kind of hang out with me throughout the camp and stuff. And Easton ended up spending the night with me, or, you know, just and hanging out. Like, it's pretty cool, man. Like, you know, to have that bond, and like, people don't get it who aren't in sports, the bond that you have with your teammates. And, you know, again, we've been hanging out since we've been 18, and, you know, watch each other, you know, succeed and follow each other and cheer for each other from afar, man. It's pretty special. Like, you know, it's cool. Like, even Stoller's mom would text me after games, because she got on and started watching on NFHS Network and was watching the games and stuff.
Sponsored by.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by NFHS.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's just, man, it's really neat, man, for him to, like, you know, I know you guys can. I know I bust y'all's balls all the time about not seeing you guys enough or coming to games or – But, you know, Stoller came up, you know, heck, he stood in line out here because tickets were crazy. We were selling out games in like 3 minutes. And, you know, for him to take the time and his family to come up, Shannon came up to a couple games. It's just, It means a lot, man. It means more than people realize.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, regarding the coaching and getting excited and not knowing what the heck's coming out of your mouth when you're coaching stuff, like we all went to college together. We all have pretty interesting language behind the scenes. We'll say that half the time. How do you turn that off in public, or do you?
It's hard. It's hard. I mean, things slip out. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, it's hard. I tell everybody I have a character coach that's on our team. He was my pastor when I first got here. And he's our character coach, man. And like, I tell everybody this story, my first year, you know, we first got here, we started going to church there. His name's John Sharp. He's a phenomenal guy. He's a church planter now. He's actually my lead pastor now. But a couple weeks after we'd been going to church, he's like, hey, man, I got a great idea. I want to be your character coach. And at that point, I wasn't familiar with what a character coach was. It's kind of a new deal. And he kind of told me what he wants to do. He just comes to practice, hangs out when he can, you know, prays for the team, you know, his Air Force. And after the first game, he sends me a letter grade via text. And I'm like, no, I thought we played better than that. You know, it's kind of my response to him. He's like, oh, no. I'm not grading your team. I'm grading you and how you did as a coach. As far as, you know, self-control, language, you know, dealing with diversity. And it's pretty humbling when your pastor texts you a letter grade of how well you did in the game. We're not talking to X and O's. It's so, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, having him around, you know, definitely helps. Definitely helps a lot.
Yeah. Hey, since we're talking about character and maybe even some language, a story popped into my head that the four of us would definitely probably remember. It has to do with you, Scott, during a practice when you had some language that the coach didn't appreciate you using during some defensive drills, and him getting on you for swearing. I don't know, you made a bad throw or did something and you weren't happy about, you know, how you performed, obviously. And I think you said shit or something like that. And then, you know, he gets on you, and then like very next play, you did it again. Like subconsciously, I don't think you were intentionally trying to, you know, upset him, but you did it again.
I'll tell the story.
He went nuts on you, and he swore at you while he was telling you not to swear.
So this is a story, and this is Coach Garrett. And if kids are around, forgive me, but this is what went down. First of all, congrats to Coach Garrett. I guess he won like his 1,000th game over at Concord where we all played. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Southern West Virginia, if you can win two games, this seems like a win to me. So
I'm from – I know, right? Like, I'd like to throat punch you right now.
What's going on?
Can you go back and, like, rewind and start that over? Like, make it
a look. Can we edit that? I mean,
I'm just saying, Southern West Virginia is not the hub for elite baseball players. We all played there, obviously. So,
I was going to say, look for there.
So,
I mean, that's the home of Aaron Lambert.
Yeah.
Story. So here's what happened. So I was catching, and you know, like when you're catching, you catch one on your thumb, like this thumb has been dislocated probably 800 times. You catch one on there and it freaking hurts. Drew says twice, shut up. So I caught one on thumb. I was like, mother ever, you know, just drop a big one. But right before the practice, he's like, all right, we're working. Kind of like Drew said, like with his character coach, like, all right, we're going to work on this stuff a little bit. He's like, all right, we're going to cut the cussing out. And like Coach Garrett was very chill, and every once in a while he'd just go off, like a lot of coaches. It builds up enough, you're just going to go off, right? But before this practice, it's like, all right, we're actually going to pay attention to our language. We got to clean it up. There's kids at the games, but you know, all this stuff. And you know, there's not much more testosterone than there could be on a team full of 18 to 22 year old men. So we get to practice, I catch a thumb, mother, and I drop the f-bomb. And he goes, Scotty, cut it out. So the next pitch comes, I cut another one like back to back, and I dropped the F again. He's like, what did I just, no, he said, stop using that F word or something like that. I was like, he's like, control your emotions. I said, Coach, it's not emotions, it's pain. And he goes, I don't give a F if you F and blah, for like 2 minutes. He just goes off on me, probably 15 F bombs in a little 2 minute. Oh my gosh, it's freaking hilarious. And then I just sat there like, well, looks like we're going to be having a talk later on today.
That's right.
It's great.
Character moments. Character moments.
I would fail the cussing ones, probably.
Same.
No, but kudos to Coach Garrett for 500. That's a big accomplishment, especially at, you know, Concord. You know,
that's so awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. What else? What any other big takeaways? How you and JJ Redick, Bruce? You guys hanging out a lot these days, or?
Did you see he sent us a video?
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, really cool. I really never had any interaction. Obviously, it's way before my time here. I've only been here 8 years, but that's cool. He took enough time out of his day to do that. But that's
cool.
We had a guy that supports our program pretty well that graduated with him. I think he's the one that got that set up. That's really cool.
Kids probably loved it though, right?
Absolutely.
That's sweet.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What's your squad look like coming back next year? Once that last second goes off, you're thinking about next year. So what's next year look like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the world of the transfer portal, it's worked its way down to high school. Let's not kid ourselves. So, you know, I told everybody, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, what does your team look like? I could have told you, you know, I know what we have down to fourth grade, but, you know, kids get unhappy and leave. And, you know, so, I mean, if everybody comes back, I like our team. You know, I was telling them earlier, return our point guard. He'll be a rising senior. He played, you know, every game but one this year, led our ship, you know, did a really, really good job. He's a crafty lefty, does an awesome job for us. We return our two-man, who was All-State this year, is All-State, second-team All-State as a sophomore, first-team All-State this past year, and co-player of the year for the state with another one of our kids. So, you know, so he returns. He's actually playing with Team Loaded out of North Carolina, which is a big-time AAU program. And then we return my 6'8 kid inside, my big donkey inside, who's really, really good, played really well in the post.
Do these kids have names, or do we just refer to them as their position and size?
The donkey.
It's his position and size, Stoller. It's what it's been the whole podcast.
I mean, are you not allowed to use name, image, likeness?
Graham Lilly, my point guard. Stark Jones, my two-man. And Dylan Saunders, my five-man, my big kid inside. And then we return a 6'6 kid, you know, Cameron Tinsley.
Thank you.
Who's got a real big chance. His mom played at UVA Wise. His dad played at UNC Charlotte. Lefty. Reminds you, like, if you look at him, like, you would know this, though, John Wilson, who also looks like
Tayshaun
Prince. Exactly.
Prince. See? Exactly. I knew it.
Looks just like him. Fly out, shoot the eyes out of a basketball. He returns for us. And then another kid, Bass Bryant, who came off the bench that can really shoot it as well. And then, you know, we've got Joseph Allen Burke, who's going to be a four-man for us. And Sean Washington, who was just a sophomore. So we return a good nucleus. You know, the two kids we left, Owen and Bryce, were a lot of our toughness, a lot of our grit. The Bryce kid's going to VMI. Took 7 charges in one game, averaged 3 to 4 charges a game. He was our grit, man. He was, and he could score as well. I mean, was our point guard sometimes, and we'll miss those guys very, very much. And people have to step up in their roles.
I was gonna say those two that you mentioned that they definitely seemed like they were your ignition switches on the get after it side of the defense and offense. Sometimes, you know, like just the amount of charges. What was the kid's name?
Bryce Cooper.
Bryce, yeah. With Bryce, the amount of charges he took in that game was unbelievable.
Yeah, he took 7 in one game. I mean, that's got to be a state record. I don't know if anybody – he would legit, Jones.
Landry, and he probably missed 2 that he should have got called for charges.
He would try to take like 12 a game, man. Like, it was awesome, man. Like, and, you know, kids anymore, like, nobody wants to take a freaking charge. I mean, nobody wants to do that anymore. They don't get all sports. They're like, nobody cares about that. But he took 7 in the game. There was – his best 2 games this year were 1, the state championship game, and 2, when we beat Northside by 22 at their place. He took more charges than he had points. I mean, I thought, you know, and he had a couple games where he scored 18, 20 points, whatever, but took more charges. He took 4 charges in both those games, which really flipped both those games.
That's crazy.
You know, you were talking about your transfer, guys. You left out one big transfer I think you may or may not know that's coming in.
Aaron Lambert?
No.
Easton Stoller. Easton Stoller. he told He told Shannon, my wife, last week that he was transferring to Cave Spring next year. So it wasn't like he was mad. He was like just excited about transferring to Cave Spring to play basketball for you next year.
All right, so here's the best story about Easton. So Easton comes up, Stoller drops him off. He stays with us for camp, right, for my little kids' camp. My son, his son are very mild-mannered kids 90% of the time. They're
easy going. Yeah.
Real laid back. I think they get along with anybody. So, you know, we've been at camp all day. You know, they had to come early with me, like 8 o'clock. We don't get home till like 4 p.m, you know, tired. So we're driving home. Easton's our guest, right? So we're driving home. Like, Easton, man, tell me what you want for dinner. Dude doesn't break stride. He's like, I'd probably go for a steak if that's cool. I'm thinking he's going to say, like, let's hit up Chick-fil-A. How about, like, right, some melon mushroom
hot dogs?
That's like his place to go. He's like, I'd probably go for a steak. Doesn't break a smile, nothing. Like, he knew immediately what he wanted. I'm like, call stories. Like, what are y'all doing? I'm like, well, your son wants the steaks. So we're going to buy some steaks and grill them out. He's like, what? Tell me to eat a hot dog. I'm like, nah, man. We go dog a steak.
So innocent, though. It was so innocent. Like, he had no clue that it was like, oh, you mean that would be, like, not a good thing to do?
Bruce is like, Stoller, shoot me your Venmo real quick.
Yeah.
And now we can't get away from mellow mushroom. We ate mellow mushroom and now that's all they
want to
eat.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yep, go to.
How old is Easton now?
He's 10.
10, nice.
He turns 11 at the end of May.
He looks like he's 18, though. He's strong as an ox. He's shaving, I think, too.
He is. Yep.
So. Easton versus Lambert wrestling match. Who wins?
What time of day is it?
Oh man, there's hesitation. Lambert's gonna slam your 10-year-old.
Lambert's like got bad feelings about Easton right now. Like, he's gonna punch him when he sees him.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, Lambo, you look like you've been after, man. What's your workout routine?
What'd you say? You cut out.
I said you look like you've been kind of getting after it in the gym. What's your workout routine?
Currently, reps and cardio. Because, you know,
you don't follow his TikTok.
I got fat. Hey, let's talk about your sweatshirt, Lambo. How can you get that out to Jones Road in Bailey, Colorado? I like that sweatshirt, man.
Which one?
When you're wearing.
Oh, the West Virginia one?
Yeah.
It's an old one, man.
I like it. Anyway. What? Hey, so as far as the recording stuff is going, Lambo brand, baby. Bruce is busting out the Lambo brand.
There it is.
Boys, I just wanted to do a public kind of congrats to Bruce. I kind of want to see a little bit behind the scenes. So thanks for hopping on and talk about that. We'll hang out off air here for a little bit too, but appreciate y'all.
Hey, appreciate you, Jonesy.
Yep.
All right. See y'all.
Thank you for listening to Athlete on Fire. Stay fired up with additional resources and information at athleteonfire.com.